I got
Hooray.
It.
Hooray.
All right.
Okay. Because I didn't want to start presenting without the recording.
No. All right.
Okay.
All right. I wanted to start with a fresh. Hello,
okay,
everyone, and welcome to the 5 P's for Socialpreneurs. And technical, Aries, full moon in Libra today, really potent. So it's a really great day for some of this compass work we're going to do and for manifesting your dreams here. And my name is Renee Barbeau, and I'm known as the Practical Shaman. And what that means is I make the mundane magical. I am a modern-day life coach that uses ancient tools to ignite the magic for my clients in their business and relationships. To me, time is our most valuable asset that we have these days, along with our natural resources. And so, first of all, I'd like to thank you up front for taking time to listen to the panel that I have comprised for this work. And I'm really, really excited about this work. But first of all, I want you to start by taking a moment, getting yourself here, centered, take a deep breath, and honor yourself by making yourself a priority today for listening to this call. So everyone, just take a second to get here. And before I get into today's topic, I had hoped that one of the students from my former class was going to be here to give a little bit of a testimonial, but maybe I can get her for the class tomorrow, because I want to tell you about this great course that this is a precursor for. This whole idea of doing the Socialpreneurs is about building new relationships in business and stepping out with a whole new paradigm that I think that is developing over the next 10 years. And beginning next week, I'm going to be offering a course called Creating Your Authentic Business Brand. And what it does is it takes some of the tools that you're going to hear about here today with Lynn and with some of the other presenters who have shared, and also it takes and works with your energetic business archetypes. And I'm working with a archetype expert, Suzanne Fagel, on that, who really worked very hard researching a book on archetypes. And the work is profound, but I could sit here and tell you all day long about, but I want to get my people who have really launched their own businesses from finding out what they're working on through taking time out, like Janet said in the first call, getting really, really clear about where they're going, and then, you know, getting a sense of how their energies are working on their unique life so that they could step out from the crowd, that they're not even in the same crowd anymore. And this really is kind of my service work here, helping people launch. Today I'm really excited about the woman who, Lynn Serafin, and who's going to be sharing with us today. We met in something called the Next Top Author Contest, which we called a cooperation instead of a competition, because from there we've launched Facebook groups. We've all stayed connected in one way or another, and it's been a real honor getting to know her and watching her develop over the next few years. Lynn Serafin, she has all of these initials after her name that I don't even know what they mean. Maybe she'll tell me. She's a MAD, an M-A-E-D, a C-P-C-C, and she's a certified award-winning coach, teacher, marketer, social media expert, radio host, speaker, and author of the number one bestseller, The Seven Graces of Marketing, How to Heal Humanity and Planet by Changing the way we sell. And now her new book, Tweetbalicious, which you'll be hearing about a little bit later, is 158 Twitter tips and strategies for writers, social entrepreneurs, and change makers who want to market their business ethically. She's listed in the top 20 of the top 100 marketing authors on Twitter by Social Media Magazine and was a finalist for the prestigious Brit Writers Awards. Her eclectic approach to marketing incorporates her vast professional experience in the music industry and the educational sector, along with more than two decades of study and practice of the spirituality of India. Her innovative marketing campaigns have produced a long list of best-selling nonfiction authors through her company, Spirit Authors. Lynn is also the founder of the Seven Graces Project, a budding social enterprise whose aim is to help grow a new generation of passionate entrepreneurs who want to serve both people and the planet through innovative, ethical, and independent enterprise. Wow, that's a mouthful, and I seem to be tripping over my words today. I don't know if my brain is having a full moon.
It's probably because of that MAD thing. The MAED stands for Masters in Education. And,
yeah.
It's actually MAED slash AEDL or something like that. It's Adult Education and Distance Learning. That's what my master's degree is in. So
how great for distant learning.
Yeah, so I'm all about developing distance programs to enable education to everybody from any corner of the planet. And the more our technology grows, the more I see it as opportunities for sharing wisdom and learning and stuff like that. So I'm very passionate about doing programs like this, Renee. It fulfills my whole, it's my fun factor as well as my passion factor. I love doing this kind of stuff.
Well, I'm really glad to have you here today, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Twitter has not been my platform of ease, and yet my good friend Teresa always says, you know, Facebook is only the cocktail hour, Renee. You need to, you know, you need to branch out, and I find that, and so I'm really looking forward to finding out more a little bit deeper about really how we can build our platforms and get our message out there even stronger and more clear. So thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
So let's jump right in. So I'm talking about platform, but, you know, I'm not talking about diving into the pool across the street. I want to know, what do you mean by platform? Is it just about selling?
It absolutely isn't just about selling. And, people, when they first come to me, because I work as an independent marketing consultant, mainly for authors, but also for social entrepreneurs, people who are working in community-focused, socially focused businesses that serve society in some way. So I work as a marketing consultant for those kinds of people. And a lot of times I'll say, well, what's your platform like? And they say, well, I'm not quite sure what you mean. So I think it's really important to define what that is, because I think some people have an idea, but they don't necessarily know what it means. A platform really is the system of relationships you have. And by that I mean it's your relationship with yourself, the relationship with your business, the relationship you and your business have with your audience, and also their recognition of you, and also your relationship with partners, with network partners. All of those things are really key components to your platform, and it takes time to build those things. You can't just decide, I'm going to do an advertising campaign and say that's a platform. That's not a platform. That may be an advertising campaign, but it's not a platform. A platform is relationships, and it takes time to build that. It also has to do with your visibility and your image and the way people see your brand. And as we're talking tonight, we'll be looking at what do I mean by brand, because when we're talking about authentic entrepreneurs and socially conscious entrepreneurs, brand really has a lot to do with your values and the way you express those values and the way you show up in the world. It has a lot more to do with that than the products and services that you're offering. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight as well. So it has to do with your relationships. It has to do with your visibility factor. And none of that, as you'll see, has to do with selling. None of that has to do with your products at all. Now, I'll give you an example of a recent client I had who had a really good platform, but who is actually a first-time author. And she's going to be on the call tomorrow, I believe, Morgana Ray. She was my client for most of last year, and we launched her book, Financial Alchemy. Technically, she was a first-time author, but this woman has been around for a while, and her platform is really, really strong. Of course, in the preparation for the book launch, we made it stronger. We brought many, many thousands of new people into her fold, into her mailing list, into her Twitter following, and got her image even strengthened more. before, and I also worked with her on a blogging strategy. So we just worked to make that platform strong, a strong platform, even stronger. As a result, she had a brilliant, brilliant turnout from the book launch. It was not just that she hit number one here and there and everywhere. She actually had a massive financial return on the book launch. I was so delighted for her, and I was kind of pleased for myself because I could see that I had done well for my client. Now, that came not because she had a product that everybody knew about or was an old product or had been built up or whatever. It's because her platform was really, really strong. So I wanted to, for everybody to see that the difference between a platform and products that you sell, they're completely different. You cannot really sell authentically products and services unless that platform is there. And the stronger your platform becomes, here's the thing that a lot of people don't necessarily realize. The stronger your platform becomes, the more effortless selling becomes. You work much less hard, much less. You work much less at selling products and services when your platform is strong. So I hope that kind of defines it a little. I know we're going to go deeper into it, but anything you want to ask or something I didn't say about that, Renee, to make sure I'm clear?
No, I think that even takes it further than when I think of platform, so I think that that's great. I'm sure that helps a lot of people because, and I am looking forward to meeting Morgana tomorrow to hear a little bit more about what she says about her platform and prosperity, how her platform has, you know, done that for her. So you help people build their platform, and you have a different approach than most people. What is your approach?
Well, I think that a lot of people who are in what I call the old school of marketing, they teach people how to market in a very formulaic way, and I'm sure a lot of you who have attended marketing seminars will recognize this. They teach you to look at things from the outside in. And I'll give by that I mean most old school marketers will say, what's the pain that you're solving? Go to your audience's pain. Let's look at their pain, and then let's create something that kind of triggers that pain until they become so uncomfortable that they feel compelled to buy. And that's really kind of the scam of old school marketing. Sorry, I'm hearing some noise on the line. It's kind of the scam of old school marketing that it's not just addressing pain we already have, but sometimes even creating pain in the form of feelings of scarcity or feelings of fear or feelings of disconnection. And a lot of old school marketing will look at, okay, what's already there? How can we exaggerate it? And then how can we build a sense of urgency in people to buy it now? And that's what a lot of old school marketers will teach you in terms of building your platform. That's about going to the outside, getting to that pain, and then kind of manipulating it. My approach is different, and I think any kind of new entrepreneurs, people in the new paradigm of marketing will take the same approach. My approach is inside out. It's not from the outside in. It's not going there and then trying to manipulate what's outside. It's first going inside to who you are and what you want to create in the world. And I think that's a hugely important first step. And I'll be going more into more depth in that in a few minutes about what that means. If you behave like somebody who's speaking to the audience in a disconnected fashion and you're just selling them a thing, there's really a disconnection going on. There's a depersonalization going on there. Neither you nor your audience are people in that equation. It's just kind of faceless customers and products. And that is not really the way to build a platform. That's the way most of us have been marketed to in our lifetimes, but that is not the way to build a marketing platform in the modern era. It will never go back the other way because technology has changed the way marketing is. Marketing is no longer a one-way thing where we can just shout at the customers and manipulate the customers and have them respond. Now marketing is a dialogue, and a lot of that has to do with social media and blogging. And actually, I think that's a really, really good thing. So I never teach somebody to go out and see what other people's pain is and then manipulate it. It's about you going in first, starting with who you are, what is it that you want to create, and then look at how can your brand or how is your brand, how is what you're doing congruent with that person who you are and the change you want to make. I'm not interested in working with any company who doesn't have that congruence. And, you know, I believe that when you have that congruence and you've built the platform based upon relationships, as I said a few minutes ago, selling happens naturally and organically.
And I believe that, too. And that's, you know, why I was saying earlier that I would really love to have some, I'm going to try to get all of the people, some of the people on the call tomorrow who really have experienced a profound change in order to let other people know that this stuff works. This heart-to-heart coaching and marketing program really is effective, and we can change the world one person at a time when we work this way.
Well, I believe in that on many levels, Renee, because my personal belief is that there is, and I use this word a lot, and I've spoken about this quite a lot and blogged about this. I believe there's a dharma, a life purpose, an intrinsic life purpose to being a business person. And I think the purpose of business, the life purpose, the dharma of being an entrepreneur is to serve society and to feed humanity what they need. And that means to, you know, whether it's actual food or products or services or whatever, our role is to serve our communities. It's not to make money. And if we're not fulfilling that dharma, then we're not actually keeping the world in balance. So I believe, my personal belief, my personal observation is that over the last century, we've become a world of people who are very much dependent upon corporate culture and consumer culture, and that has created huge imbalances in our society. It's destroyed our communities. It's made our economy very vulnerable. It's also destroyed our natural environment, and in many ways, it's affected our health. Those are the issues I talk about in my earlier book, The Seven Graces of Marketing, which is about a year and a half old now. That's what I address in that book, is how that system of marketing created all these imbalances in society. Things are changing rapidly. Over the past year, more and more people, or not just past year, but the past few years, since the so-called economic crises have happened, more and more people are turning into self-employment. I see that as a sign that humanity is starting to heal itself, because I believe the natural state for social organisms is that it's made up of lots and lots and lots and lots of independent business people, and that those are what keep communities healthy. That's what makes us resilient, so that if one thing fails, the whole system doesn't fail. That's what keeps the economy in balance. That's what gives us a sense of purpose and belonging in our societies. I'm a huge believer in the independent entrepreneur. So I totally believe that that we change the world by making sure that we create good businesses that serve society, and that we vehemently hold on to being independent and and serving and keeping that ethos there. So that's a bit of an aside. It wasn't in the script, Renee, but I just wanted to say I feel very passionate about that, about the entrepreneur.
Well, then that means that my courses should be filling up as we go, because there's more and more independent people, and so we should have a nice full class with about 50 people starting next week. You know, Janet talked about that as well. She was talking about that. One thing she wanted people to realize, because she just got back from India, is that, you know, it's not everyone's karma to be a multimillionaire standing on a platform with a thousand people listening to them either. And so I think that's where it becomes really crucial for people like you and I to really help people define what makes your life click, what makes you tick, what makes you happy, not what you know. I have some people I know, they're always talking about, you know, that these other people are promising them six figures, and it drives me crazy.
Crazy, me too.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. Now, I can tell you, after making six figures, you know, I still have to pay the government, and there doesn't seem to be much left in the bank, so I don't, now I want, you know, I mean, that's not what motivates me. It never has, never will, and, you know, the more and more that comes in, the more and more I seem to be able to spend.
Well, and here's
personally.
The thing about... Here's the thing about being an entrepreneur and making six figures. You might make it 1 year, and you might not make it the next year. You might make seven. You might make whatever. On the Seven Graces conference, we had Rachel Elnaugh as one of the speakers, and she was on the panel of Dragon's Den, which I think you call Shark Tank in the
right.
United States. And so she was one of the dragons, you know, one of the sharks on the British show, back when it was in the first couple of series. That woman had like a £25 million, which is probably about $40 million business that she started from the ground up. And on the show, she was like at the height of her career and all this stuff, and it went belly up. It went totally belly up, and she tells the story. She tells a beautiful story. I won't go into it because I don't remember it, but also I don't want to take
it was her story.
It's her story. But the fact is, she rolled with the punches, and because she's a consummate entrepreneur, she lost everything and had to start again, and now she's creating something different. What it actually brought her to is it brought her to a place of building heart-centered businesses and holistic businesses, and she's in a completely different mindset, traveling to a completely different company. So there you go. There's a woman who was, you know, multi-million pound entrepreneur, lost everything, found the heart-centered way, and she's really doing very well. And I think it's an inspiration to see. Being an entrepreneur is a mindset. It means you have to roll with the punches. You have to enjoy the ride. Sometimes you're going to lose, you know, you're not going to make much money, or maybe you'll supposedly lose money. You know how I look at money lost? I see it as a tax write-off. They're my expenses. That's how
expenses.
I see it. I don't stress it. I really don't stress it because I love the entrepreneurial lifestyle. I'm not reckless, but I love the entrepreneurial lifestyle, and I believe in it passionately. And, you know, so, but you have to be willing to enjoy the ride, the ups and downs, and go, you know, like that sometimes. You just have to be willing to go to scary places, and then you succeed. Success in entrepreneurship, I believe, is keeping on going. That's what I believe. Just
right. It's like picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, and saying, okay, I have lunch.
Yes, indeed.
So, but there are some components that we talk about for building that authentic online footprint. And so let's talk about those.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of list some of the components, and then I'm going to go into a deeper level.
Hello? Uh-oh, did we lose her? Did we lose me? Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Anyone here? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, good, you are... You're here. I'm gonna put you back on the spot in a little bit then, since you're here.
Okay.
Well, why don't I do that right now, since I think Lynn dropped off the call. You know, so Mary, why don't you tell people, since I'm offering this course about creating your authentic business footprint, tell me what did you get from that program?
Well, the most important thing was the why of my business. And also, the next pieces were concrete ways to get that why into place related to website design, social media, how to get started. It was a very seamless program that helped one step at a time, getting from an idea and a passionate idea into action.
And how did you? One of the things we did for this program is we had people do a 24-hour vision quest. How was that for you?
It was very helpful because what I ended up doing was putting myself out of my regular schedule and taking time to listen more deeply into myself, which helped me define my why, and also helped me. I created a voice dialogue between the inner pieces of myself that were having problem coming to that clarity. So that was very helpful.
And you also you had some business archetypes. Did they surprise you at all? What were your archetypes? Do you remember?
Yeah, The Alchemist was the top, and I think you said that most of the people that were on the call were The Alchemist. But what I realized is I was in the position of starting anew. I've had a very successful psychotherapy practice in the past and have moved to coaching. And so what I moved from is a whole new way of, like, what we're talking about, a new paradigm. And so being cool with what I've already accomplished in my life and starting again in a whole new way. On my compass.
That's great. That sounds really, really good. I'm looking forward to it. And then there's been a group that's continued on after that with doing an accountability program, which then takes that those energies into manifestation, and now they're creating there. And actually, through this, her husband launched a brand new website this week, and what it's called Tribal Arts
in Wood.
TribalArtsandWood.com, and I suggest everybody goes over there to check it out. Lynn, tell me when you get back. I wonder where Lynn went to. We were just getting into the meat of this.
Yeah.
It's been a very interesting day it's been a very interesting day. Anyone have any questions while we're waiting for Lynn to get back here? Of any of the other comments or anything like that? All right, well, I'll just talk a little bit more then. So I know Lynn's getting into the key components of building an online footprint, and it's probably a good time to ask yourself, and I tell people all the time, you don't need to be everywhere, but you do need to have a presence. And I think I said earlier in the call that my friend Teresa always says that Facebook is the cocktail hour, but I'm learning this year, and I'm branching out a lot. I'm finding myself over at LinkedIn a lot more, and I tell everybody who comes to me for professional coaching or in my groups that LinkedIn is an important place to be because people are doing business there. And it's designed for business. And I did a chart one day, and I'm not that LinkedIn has the business people. Facebook tends to be a little bit younger, and Twitter again is a really, really great avenue for business. And I'm really looking forward to learning more about it. And little bit wondering what this full moon is doing over there in London tonight. That, you know, she's totally off the call here. I wonder if she could come in this way. It's kind of an interesting thing, don't you think? That we're yeah. I'll send her this. Maybe she can click in that way. And so let me, since I have another second, let me tell you a little bit about the work that I do. I've created a tool for awakening, and it's an awakening compass, and we've used it in the other two classes. So if you've listened to it, we've looked at it in terms of where you're energetically sitting in your life at any given moment. And it's not as an issue of changing your life per se, but it's an issue of being able to navigate the map and the territory. So even if we were looking at our Twitter account, you know, where is our Twitter account sitting? Is it sitting in the east, where we have these grand ideas for it and what it should be doing?
Oh,
good.
Right.
I've been going on. Oh, we were good. You left off and I took over. And so you guys will get back to my awakening compass soon. But what are the key, we were talking about the key components for building an online footprint.
Yeah, but I had talked about a game plan, I had talked about a blog, and I talked about content. Did you hear any of that?
No.
No.
Oh, no. Oh,
so
God.
All we heard was about, you just dropped off and I took over.
Okay,
Mary piped in too. I'll put everyone back on.
Okay, Renee, I'm on Skype with you, so if it happens again, catch me quicker. I didn't see your notice until about 30 seconds ago. I can't believe that.
Are we having a day with technology or what?
Okay, steam was coming out of my ears, and so I can't believe it. Okay, so you didn't hear what I was saying about game plan?
No, how was it? We didn't hear. We heard. All we heard was it said that you need 8 key components, and that's where we left off.
Okay. All right. Oh, well, let me try to get the energy back from what I had already said that nobody heard. It's kind of like the thing, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, you know, and nobody hears it. So if Lynn's talking in her flat and nobody's on the other end of the line, is anybody hearing it? Okay. A game plan. The first component is having a game plan. As I was saying that you didn't hear, a lot of people will come into social media and blogging dabbling, and they'll try this, they'll try that, they'll experiment with this and this and that, and they don't really have a game plan for where it's going to take them. They don't really know what they want to gain from it. And when I say a game plan, I don't mean like setting targets like, oh, I want to get 3,000 Twitter followers and this. You know, that may or may not happen. And while you can, it's nice to have targets like that. However, that's not the game plan. The game plan is it's a strategy, and like I had said, which again you didn't hear, Renee and I are both strategists. I work strategies with people. I sit down and I say, okay, what is it you want to get from this ultimately? Where do you want to go from this? How are you building this business? And we look at 6 months at a time and then a year, and how is this going to take them there? There's no point in engaging in activities unless you have an idea of where you want it to take you. So the very first thing you need to do is look at, okay, what do I want to get from this? And to do that, what would I need to have? And then you work backwards. You say, how will I do that? And when will I do that? And so working out that game plan is really, really important. And if you don't know how to do that on your own, hire somebody to help. I mean, I do this with even brand new clients. They come to me. I sit with them and I work out a really detailed strategy. And then I get one of my assistants to work through the technical things with them so that they don't have to sit learning everything while they're growing. And then hopefully at the end of 6 months, they really understand a whole lot, and they can either carry on in their own or they come back and we look again at things. And I also, when we do book launches, we work the strategy out. There's a lot of strategizing that has to happen before you should put a finger in any of this. So if you haven't worked out a game plan yet, that's something that would really be the foundation of your platform. The next thing is a blog. What I was saying is that a blog, in this day and age, I believe a blog is the most important component for creating compelling content, which is the third component. The blog is the platform by which you communicate with people. It is the place where people see your level of expertise. It is the place where they understand what you're about. They see what you think, what you feel, what you know, what you stand for. And if you are not using a blog to do that, then you're missing something. I always recommend WordPress blogs, mainly because technically, they integrate with social media better than a lot of other platforms, and they're becoming kind of the industry standard. The third component is compelling content, which I'll go into in a little bit more detail later. But compelling content really is where you answer the questions of what people are looking for, speaking from what it is that you want to create. What is the change you want to create through your business? I encourage people to share, to not spare their wisdom when they're creating that content on their blog. Some people come to me and say, oh my goodness, if I tell everything in my blog, then you know, I won't have anything left to give. And I say that is very, very much underrating who you are and what you have to offer with people. You have, if you are a person who is supposed to be an expert in a certain field, and if you think you're going to run out of ideas, run out of opinions, run out of innovations, run out of new ways to say maybe the same thing in 10 different ways, then you are seriously undervaluing your wisdom, your genius, your innovation, your creativity. Never worry that you're going to run out of ideas. If you're a true leader and expert in your field, you will always have something new to say. About even sometimes very seemingly mundane things. I had a client who ran a property management, property services company. They did things like clean carpets and get mold out and blood out of carpets and paint walls and whatever. Believe it or not, they wrote a lot of blog posts on simple things like, you know, getting certain stains out or environmental products in carpets and things like that. they never ran out of things to say. And because they were the experts, that didn't give people the ability to go and clean houses, but it showed their audience that they were experts in their field. It gave confidence, and it also gave information. And so never, never, never be afraid to create compelling content. Without that content, none of your platform, none of your online platform will work. If you send people simply to sales pages through your social media, it just won't work. It will not work. The third component, obviously, is your social network. And pretty much the bog standard social networks these days are the following: Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, and YouTube. Now, my biggest network that I work with is Twitter. My second most is Facebook. Less so with LinkedIn, hardly at all with Google+. I'm going to confess that. I find Google+ to be a lot of work, but I do post to there, you know, once or twice a day. I don't socialize on there. I find it to be very a bit cumbersome, but that's me. Twitter I adore, and if you find Twitter nebulous, I would say pick up my book Tweetbalicious, which will help you love Twitter. At least that's what people who have read it have told me. And you know, Facebook I know a lot of people find more accessible, but frankly, Twitter, you can direct people to so much content through Twitter and develop just as deep relationships through Twitter as Facebook, probably even more, if you know what you're doing. Now, the last component of your social network some of you may overlook is YouTube. I am encouraging people more and more and more to use YouTube as part of their vital social media kit because it has such a high... It's the second largest search engine after Google. And that means that if you get a video on there and you land the keywords in the title and you have a link back to your site, you can appear much more quickly on the first page of Google searches through your video than you can with your blog. I've had it happen many, many times. And then if that video is on your blog or it links back to your blog in some way, it indirectly is sending traffic to your blog. So don't overlook YouTube. I talk about this in the book Tweetbalicious. It's an essential part of building your platform. It really, really is. And there's many, many different creative ways that you can use YouTube videos. It's something I'm going to be expanding into more and more over the next coming year or so. The fifth component is a distribution system. Syndication, bookmarking sites, and building automation systems. I'm not going to go into the technical aspects of what I mean by that. I talk about that to some degree in Tweetbalicious. There's a whole chapter on automation systems. But syndication, also getting your RSS feeds of your blog posts into virtually anywhere that will take an RSS, going into bookmarking sites and site directories, getting those all important links back to your blog so that you can increase your rankings, and that also it will stream out in many, many different places. It's important to make sure that you have that distribution set up so that your blog isn't just going out to the few people who may come to it, but it's also going to all your social networks and to other sites and any place else that will take that level of syndication. It's very important to do that. The sixth component is your communication systems. How are you going to communicate with your audience once they've come to read your blog or your website? And that would include email subscriptions, blog subscriptions. There are many different ways to do that. How are you going to communicate with them? How often are you going to communicate with them? It's important to build a consistency around that. If you blog every now and then, you're not going to develop a regular audience or expecting and waiting to see your blog posts. I've noticed, I used to kind of blog when I felt like it, and I said, oh, well, it's not making me any money, so, you know, I'll only blog once a month or something like that. You know what? That doesn't work. It absolutely doesn't work. I then changed my strategy, and I said, come hell or high water, I'm going to be blogging twice a week on this blog and once a week on that blog, and I'm just doing it. My traffic tripled pretty much on the one that I'm doing twice a week. It tripled pretty much within a month's time. And not only that, but my book sales went up. Am I selling my books and my blogs? No. Not at all. I'm giving very, very compelling content in the blogs. And then there's a mention of the books at the end. And loads of people write to me and say, you know what, that article really got me. I went out and got both of your books today. And that happens all the time. Do I have to sell anything? No. What brings people into the circle is the fact that I'm giving very compelling information and making sure that they're receiving it. So the communication systems are, you know, how often are you going to be writing the posts? How often are you going to be sending newsletters? How are you going to be capturing, I hate that word capturing, but that's the kind of the common word. How are you going to be getting those names into your subscription system? Which subscription systems are you using? What ways are you going to bring them in, you know, leads generating ways? Are you going to bring them into your circle? Developing those communication systems are very important. I could talk a whole session on developing your communication system, so it's not something we could do on today's call, really, but that's a key component.
That's okay. Yesterday I did with the accountability group. We actually went through setting up and work. We've been working on that, so people
great,
who stay
great.
With me, I teach that.
Great, fantastic. The seventh component is are your collaborators. Persons like people like Renee, for instance, is a collaborator. She's part. I don't sell to Renee. I don't go to Renee and say, "Hey, can you buy this for me?" and whatever. She's my collaborator. I come to her and say, "Hey, can you help me?" She comes to me and says, "Hey, can you help me?" And your collaborators are your gold dust, and they're really, 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 if you haven't reached a point where you actually have collaborators in your close circle, then your platform isn't built yet, honestly. If you can't look down your list of people that you know and say, actually, I can count on this person for these kinds of collaborations and those people for these kinds of collaborations. If you don't have a circle like that, then your platform isn't done yet. Now, when I have a new client who comes to me and wants to do a book launch, for instance, if they don't have a collaboration circle, then I say, you cannot launch with me for at least another 8 months because I need to spend time with you before I even start building your launch. I need to spend time with you so you can start creating those relationships with your collaborators. An example is a client of mine who's she really gets it because she did it all before. Her name is Erica Tucci, and she had a stroke about 2 years ago. She had a stroke, so she lost her whole business and all of her network and collaborations and everything just kind of went splat. And she was she's still in recovery. She's still in rehabilitation. Now, however, because she understands from past experience the power of building that collaborative network, I've been guiding her along through it. And that woman is going out, and she's making some of the most incredible collaborative partners, and they include people like the Stroke Association and different organizations that are all in that level of what she's working with now. Now I know that soon she's going to be ready to start working on the launch, and we're going to be launching that book in November. So, but that was the most important thing, is how can we do this now so that you can start developing those partnerships all on your own, nothing to do with me. Let's build a strategy so you can start meeting the right kinds of people who just click with you and who really want to support your work, and you can support their work. So it's about giving to each other, not taking. It's about giving to each other. The last component, the eighth component, is data management, actually. It's something that I've actually gotten more into. And data management are things like stats and systems that you use for reviewing the effectiveness of your platform. They are important in building your platform, because unless you have a way of measuring how well you're doing, you don't know how to do it better and better and better and better. You don't know how to grow. It isn't just a matter of how many Twitter followers do I have. It's a matter of also seeing how often are they online? How engaged are they? How fresh are my contacts? How many people are opening my emails? How much traffic is my blog receiving every week? Is it going up? Which times of day when do people most go there? What is the material that I'm creating that is causing the traffic to go to my site or not? Unless you have at least some kind of analytical systems there that you review at least once a month or so. You don't have to do it every day, although I can get a bit obsessive about them. But at least once a month, if you're not taking some time to look at that, then you actually don't know if your platform is working. You're kind of poking around in the dark. So I think that data systems It's kind of like you get out of all the right brain creative stuff and the people stuff, you got to come over to the left side and get into that hardcore data management stuff as well. And also looking at your, you know, is it creating an income stream? Am I creating an income stream from this as well? So that's part of it as well. So looking at that is very important. Now, I did much more detail on that than I had expected to, but I know we wanted to talk about some things to do with Twitter, but I don't know how much time we have left, Renee, so let me take your lead on this.
Okay, well, since we've had some technical issues, I'm probably not going to work on the compass here, but the last two calls that people do have links to, they can definitely get in there and do some compass work. I do want to say that, you know, all of the things you just talked about are things that I do cover in the, you know, creating your authentic business footprint class, and certainly you'll get an email with how you can register for that. And right now I'm offering that if you sign up this week, you get a one-on-one consultation with me to do a game plan and strategy. So we're right in there together, Lynn. But I'm going to give you the rest of the time here for the last 10 minutes to talk about Tweetbalicious and you know, to talk about how you'd build authentic platform on Twitter.
Yeah, okay, I will do that. Thanks, Renee, and I'm sorry I didn't get to do your compass thing because I really was looking forward to it. Maybe we can do it offline. But it's interesting because Renee and I didn't really consult about how what I was going to talk about lined up with what her product offering is for tonight. So it's kind of interesting to find out how similar it is to what she's doing. It just goes to show that this is a system. This is something that works. And, you know, I encourage you to check out what Renee has to offer. Renee mentioned the book, Tweetbalicious, and that's my most recent book. The full title is Tweetbalicious, 158 Twitter Tips and Strategies for Writers, Social Entrepreneurs, and Changemakers Who Want to Market Their Business Ethically. The key word there is ethically, because it is not about scamming or spamming or attacking people, you know, with, you know, endless sales pitches. It's about marketing in this organic way through platform building and content delivery rather than thinking about selling. And I'm going to go through, I had made 10 key points, but we only have a few minutes, so I'm going to go through them like really quickly. I'm going to compress the first three of them, into one chunk. The first three of them that I put was know thyself, know your message, and know your audience. If you don't really know who you are and you're afraid to show yourself up in social media, or if you don't know how to make yourself and your values appear in social media, you're going to have a really rough time communicating your message in 140 characters or less. And you really should make it like 120 characters or less to enable people to share. And also the shorter your tweets, the more I find the more people click and the more people read them and the more people share them. So getting things really short and direct is one of the things that I teach you in the book. So knowing yourself is really the first component, knowing what your message is, what you're saying, and knowing how to say it in probably 1,000 different ways is really the magic of Twitter. What I teach in the book is how to create very compelling blog posts where you take one blog post and you create maybe 10, 15, even 20 different tweets, all directing people to that blog post in different ways by taking different elements of that blog post, creating wisdom from that blog post in different ways, not just rewording the title. It's about talking about the content of it. And bringing people in that way through different keywords, through different hashtags, through different questions, through different different approaches. And it really, really, really works. And you would be amazed how much Twitter content you can create with, say, even 10 or 12 blog posts, really good blog posts. So, and knowing your audience is really important with Twitter, because if you are just kind of following people randomly here and there, you know, nilly-willy, whatever they call it, and you're letting them, you know, just letting your audience kind of grow any which way, then, again, you're not following the game plan. You have to know, who is it that you actually want to speak to? Who do you want to read your blog? and look for them. And there are different ways to do searches, keyword searches for profiles, and also through lists. I always find searching through lists is probably the most effective way to find people that you want to follow on Twitter, more than keywords. And I talk about that in the book Tweetalicious, how to identify those people. I'm having a real challenge right now from one of my clients is trying to find oncologists only, not people who are necessarily cancer patients, but she wants to target oncologists in a certain part of the United States. So it's a challenge for me to really get those searches down and find those people. And once you find your audience, you know how to speak to them. You speak their language, and they will follow you. And if you are writing content that's of interest to them, they will stay with you because you're giving them information. So the part number four is locating and building your tribe. And your tribe are basically people who are in your message, people who want your message, people want to talk to you, they want to give you feedback, they want to have conversations with you. And then number six, of five, the point going down my list is to deliver that content to them that they want. So you're creating that content that they want to read. So this is how you're building your tribe through that content. The next level is to then create leads generating items for them. And that would be content that they can take away, not just blog posts, you know, PDFs, special reports, audio, videos, different things that they can take away, that they can download, that they can keep, content that they can read for free. And the point of that is to get them into your mailing list. Only then, once you've kind of gone through those six levels, should you really, really, you should think about this in the beginning, but you shouldn't be so concerned with monetizing until your platform is really established. Because once your reputation is established, once your tribe is there, once other people are talking about you, once you have that traffic on the blog and that credibility is there, as I said, people easily buy what it is that you're offering, provided it's of good value and it's ethical and it gives something to them. It's priced fairly, and you know, and you're proposing it to them in the right way. That's when. So I want you to take notice that that comes later. I was reading a book called Launch by, I'm trying to remember his name. I think it's Michael Seltzer. I can't remember his surname, but he's from a site called Social Media Examiner. It's a really good book. I bought it on Kindle. And he said something like he waited until he had 10,000 people in his list and 100,000 people visiting his site a month before he even thought of selling them a single thing. Something like that. I can't remember the exact numbers, but they were huge. Huge. And he said, I was determined not to sell them a single thing until he had that level of credibility and strength of platform. It's a really good book. I do recommend it. I'm going to do a review of it as soon as I finish it. And I agree with him. I believe, and his site has done wonderfully well. It's really, really high on the rankings. So think about, I know that people want the easy way out, they want a fast way out, they want a fast income, this and this and this. If you're selling products, if you're trying to sell products passively, you're going to have to build that platform. You know. So if you're looking for clients and things, go through referrals. But if you're trying to build a passive income, don't try to shortcut it. It just doesn't work. It is in part of the new paradigm, and it's not authentic. You have to do it through relationships. I'm going to round it up because I know we're running out of time. I already talked about the importance of measuring your impact, and also looking for collaborative possibilities. So I'm going to end with, instead of rehashing that, which I was going to go into some depth, but instead of rehashing that, I'm going to say that at the end of the day, what's most important is for you to stay sane in the process. There are systems and support and maybe people who help you, that can help you keep sane. Things like time management, things like automation, things like filtering your content so that you're not looking at it all at once. Some people on Twitter, they go crazy because it's just too much information. In the book, I do tell you how to stay sane. I call it personal sustainability. If you can't stay sane, then you're not going to stay with it. You'll quit it. And if you quit it, you won't get the results that you want. I have four accounts. I have 105,000 Twitter followers. 105,000 Twitter followers. And believe me, they are the mainstay of my platform. And they're growing. I probably get another 1,000 followers a week. And they're the mainstay of my platform. They really, really are. Before I sign off for this, I'd just like to say, if you want to hear this in a less rushed fashion, I gave a 90-minute Twitter class just about Twitter at my site where the book is, and that's at tweepalicious.com, and that's TweepElicious.com. If you can't spell that, then if you go to the7gracesofmarketing.com, that's with the number 7, the7gracesofmarketing.com, if you go there, you'll see a button that says Tweepalicious, and you can click on the button, and it'll take you to that page. You can get the 90-minute class totally for free. You do have to give me your name and email, but you get the class for free. You can download it, listen to it. It gives you a lot of value even if you don't buy the book. But if you want to buy the book, the information is there too. But the class itself gives you a lot of value. So I invite you to download that class. And that's about it for now.
Well, that sounds great. In fact, I do need to get your new book, The Tweepalicious. And I really want to thank you very much for sharing, and there is a lot. I apologize to anyone who was aggravated by this Libra-Aries full moon we've got going on tonight, shaking up the technology. And I really want to urge you to consider working with me to create your own authentic business footprint, so then that these tools that she talks about creating your authentic platform, you'll be there, because you're going to know thyself, and you're going to know your message, and you're going to define your audience, and you're going to be ready to start building out that platform. And you can find more about that in the email that I send you, but also go over to toolsforawakening.com/footprint_mastermind. And, you know, if you sign up in the next day or two, you're going to get a free consultation with me, an hour consultation, and that's worth its weight in gold dust, according to Lynn. So
it is. And one thing I want to say is that some people may think they already have a really good platform. Let me tell you, that's kind of like saying, do you have enough good friends or something? There's always a deeper level you can go with your platform. You might have a good platform, but there's a way to make it even richer, more engaged, more buzzy. I don't know how else to describe it. Like I say, Morgana came to me with a really good platform, and then we brought it to a very good platform, and, you know, approaching great. And, you know, so the point is, you can always go deeper. There's no such thing as too much intimacy and validity, you know, with your audience. There's no such thing. There's always another level to take it. So don't be blasé about this just because you may already use Twitter or Facebook or any of these other things. There's always a deeper level to go. That's
always, if you want to dive deeper, stick with us tomorrow at 11. We have Morgana Ray, who's going to talk to us about prosperity. And then tomorrow at 3, we have Sri Gantu Far, who's going to talk to us about that your business needs poetry. So we have poetry, prosperity, and you really should listen to all of these classes, because so far, or all of these webinars, so far they've been really, really dynamic, and each of them have had their own jewels. So I want to thank you again for joining me here, and thank you, Lynn.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
And everyone have a good afternoon, and Lynn, good night.
Take care.